Good morning, 610 here on News Radio 92.3. Coming up in about 8 minutes, we got the Transgressors Memorial Service, or what is more colloquially referred to as the Woe Unto All Who Offend segment, which we have great fun with. But joining us now, we have Jason Bortz. He is the Public Affairs Officer for NAS Pensacola. Jason, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. So today we have, sometimes you're on because there's bad news, sometimes you're on because there's good news. Today's a good news day, right? Today we get to talk about the base being open to the public tomorrow and Sunday. Tell them what's going on.
Yep. So this weekend we're going to have an open access day for the public. They'll be able to come to the gate, the West Gate on Blues Angel Boulevard between 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. And they'll be able to enjoy the museum, the Pensacola Lighthouse, and Fort Branches for the weekend. So we're really excited about having everybody out here and opportunity to show off our base like we always do.
And one of the key things, we just want to make sure people have all the best information they need, because, you know, it's kind of annoying to show up and expect one thing and not get that. First key component is we're not going to the main gate, we're going to the back gate, kind of like the good old days when the base was open, right?
That is correct. You have to come to the west gate. If you go to the main gate and you don't have a DOD ID card, they're going to just turn you around. You're going to have to drive another 20 minutes to get to the back gate. So just save yourself 20 minutes. Go straight to the back gate on Blue Angel Boulevard.
And when they do go to that back gate, what do they need to have to get in?
They'll have to have a state issued or a federal issued picture ID, such as a driver's license or a U.S. passport. And I have to remind everybody, Andrew, I know this probably should go without saying, but no weapons or drugs are allowed on the base. That includes anybody with a concealed carry permit. I know a lot of people think, oh, I have a concealed carry permit, I can bring my weapon with me, I'll just keep it in the car. You cannot. And we will be doing random vehicle checks with our security guards out there. And if they find that will not be a good day for that person if we find out they have a weapon in their vehicle.
And you actually did have that happen the last time. And as I understand it, it's because people who have concealed carry or a gun in the car, they don't think much about that. But when you're going on the base, there are pretty strict rules.
That's true. Like I said, a lot of times people with concealed carry permits, they just think, you know, they're allowed to have it. When you get to the gate, every person will be asked, do you have a weapon when you're coming onto our base? If you forgot and you bring your concealed carry weapon with you and you forgot, please be honest. Tell our security guards. All they're going to do is ask you to turn around. You can go take that weapon back home and leave it there and come back to the base. But if you don't tell us and we do a vehicle check and we find it, it's a bad day.
So. I mean, it's a federal crime, right?
It is a federal crime, and you can. It's a hefty fine and possible time in imprisonment. And like I said, we don't want that. That's the last thing we want to happen. So please, just leave the weapons at home. Just come enjoy the base. You don't have to have weapons.
Absolutely. And okay, so for IDs, children obviously, I mean, don't need an ID if they're under 18. Is that right?
Right. That's right. Yeah, we don't need IDs for children, just the adults 18 and over.
Okay. And they'll have access to all the main areas as well. Anything else they need to know as far as like coolers or food or water or anything like that that they cannot bring on?
They cannot bring coolers or any type of bags. Now, of course, we allow diaper bags, medical bags, things like a necessity.
Yeah.
But normal backpacks, coolers, can't bring those either. So there's plenty of food and beverages available in the museum while you're in there, and take advantage of those while you're there.
And no alcohol, it should go without saying. No drones, you know. And also, kind of an unusual, and just in case people don't know, is if you've got a felony conviction, you're not allowed to go on the base. Is that right?
That is true. Yeah, if you have a felony conviction, you're not allowed to come onto the base. And when we show your ID, they'll scan it, and then it'll pop up if you have a felony conviction. So, yeah, you're right. I always forget about that one. Thank you.
I know, it's a weird one in the kind of the bottom of the list. And by the way, if you go to the NAS Pensacola Facebook page, they've got a nice post that lists all of this stuff out. The museum Facebook page has the same exact thing, so you can get more information there.
Exactly.
I have just a thought that had occurred to me randomly during the show the other day when we were talking about this, and so I just wanted to pass it on to you. Because the Blue Angels practices are such a big draw that people really miss having access to, it struck me that maybe we could do a midweek open house that would allow people to go see the Blue Angels practice sometime instead of the weekends, which has been the pattern. Just a thought, you know, so I don't know if you guys have considered that or not.
Well, I'm going to give you the best public affairs answer I know, Andrew. Maybe. So,
it's so thoroughly researched and carefully prepared. I like that. Okay.
Yes. We did the one last year, if you remember, the weekend, the Battle of Midway weekend. We got permission to do that. We got permission to do this weekend from our higher echelon command. We're going to take all the data from this weekend. We're going to report back how everything went. I'm sure everything's going to go great and smooth. And then from there, we're going to see what we can expand to do more of. But yes, it has been discussed about doing potentially some days during the week when the balloon goes fly.
That's cool.
Maybe.
I got you. I'll take a maybe. And last thing, and this just is a sad note for the community and for us, you're leaving. You're not going to be the public affairs officer at NAS Pensacola anymore come about, 2 weeks? Is that right?
A few weeks, a couple more weeks ago. Yes, I took a job at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas.
Oh, they're sending you to Leavenworth,
huh? I'm one of those rare oddities. Yeah, I'm one of those rare oddities that like the cold weather. So I'm gonna go back to being up north where the cold weather is.
Well, Jason, you and I have been friends for quite a long time, and you've been a great resource to us as a station and a fantastic public affairs officer. So I know we'll find a great person to take your spot, but I will miss you, and I appreciate you and everything that you've contributed to us as an on-air product informing our audience. So thank you so much for the job you have done, and best of luck in your next position at Leavenworth.
I appreciate it. My main job there is just trying not to go to the prison.
I wish you all of the best success. Jason Bortz, as always, thanks for the time, sir, and we'll see you over the weekend.
Thanks, Andrew.
6:16 here on News Radio 92.3. Candy's got traffic for you.
Right, taking a look around, we're not showing any slowdowns. It looks like Davis doing just fine. No problems on Scenic and the curve into Cervantes. Certainly, if you see an accident or have a traffic tip, text it in 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. It's 6:17.
From the lineup of crossovers and SUVs at Beadmore Imports, will you choose price or a competitive finance rate? Well, how about you choose both? That's right, the 2023 VW Tiguan S with driver's assist package and third row seating is now from $29,352 and with an available APR of 4.9% for 60 months. The Taos SE from $30,996 and now available with 4.9% financing for 60 months. And the biggest SUV of them all, the Atlas SE with technology from $42,632 and a finance rate of 4.9% for 72 months. So with price, financing, and selection, the only thing you need to decide is when you'll be stopping by Piedmore Imports to drive your new VW. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Piedmore Imports, 106 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Price before tax, title, and dealer fees. Special APR rate for qualifying credit. New VCI. See dealer for details.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. An IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help from running your payrolls, submitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
The following message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Elder Affairs, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Sarah is 64 and loves to garden. Recently, her health insurance ran out, leaving her worried about more than just weeds. She called the Elder Helpline and spoke with a volunteer SHINE counselor about her options. There, she received free, unbiased counseling on health insurance for those on Medicare. For more information or to volunteer, call 1-800-963-5337 or go to floridashine.org.
Wherever you are, you can listen to News Radio Pensacola on the radio at 92.3, 95.3, or AM 1620.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to remember those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must henceforth be forever cast into the abyss of dead names. In this moment of our remembrance, we prove with great grief and wailing the sincerity of our noble tolerance. What we once wrongly allowed in the ignorance of white privilege has become the cleansing rite of virtue signaling we use to prove our purity. Join with me now as we remember those we've lost. First, organized pantries. As Loyola University Associate Professor of Marketing Jenna Drenton recently woke-splained to us all, the social media trend of showing off perfectly organized home pantries is really a form of cultural imperialism, which she calls pantry porn. As she wrote in the peer-reviewed research journal, The Los Angeles Times, quote, cleanliness has historically been used as a cultural gatekeeping mechanism to reinforce status distinctions based on a vague understanding of niceness. Nice people with nice yards and nice houses make for nice neighborhoods. What lies beneath the surface of this anti-messiness, pro-niceness stance is a history of classist, racist, and sexist social structures, end quote. So true. Just think about how the anti-messiness cartel persuades middle-class white humans that their status in society is defined by enough affluence to have well-stocked pantries, as well as the time to organize them neatly and keep them clean. Pantry porn is the new version of women's high heels, footwear so absurd that its only value was to separate the high-class woman from those commoners who were so poor they had to work with their feet. Yes, the storage cleanliness industrial complex has brainwashed the weak-minded wives of this culture who already suffer the mental impairment of believing that housework is most appropriate for a woman into thinking that they are better thans just because of their pantries. Now, clearly, we know that any woman with enough time to maintain a well-stocked, tidy pantry should really be using her time surplus wearing a pink knit hat and chanting slogans in favor of reproductive rights alongside her sisterin at the steps of the legislature. No, dear Womine Sheroes, do not be seduced by the pantry porn. Put down your wicker baskets and color-coded vacuum-sealed containers and let the dust settle across your cupboard shelves. Embrace the mess, allow the clutter, and beat your Swiffer sweepers into protest signs. For it is by social activism that ye shall be saved, and not by cleaning and sorting alone. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, Richard Dawkins, the famous atheist and evolutionary biologist, although perhaps no single living person has done more to advance the cause of anti-Christianity than Professor Dawkins, he said something this week which requires us to bring down the shimmering hammer of social accountability upon his wispy-haired head. Now, I do warn you, it's pretty upsetting stuff. For those of you concerned about feeling triggered, please insert the holy earplugs of ignorance distributed earlier in your authorized Coping with Unenlightened Society personal safety pack. For those feeling slightly more brave, feel free to suck on your CBD-coated snowflake pacifier, patent pending, if that helps. All safe? Okay, here we go, but brace yourselves.
There are two sexes. You can talk about gender if you wish, and that's a subjective. As a biologist, there are two sexes, and that's all there is to it. Sex really is binary.
I know. Normally, I would not share such outlandishly incendiary nonsense in a safe space like this, the Chapel of St. Madeline the Conformist, but I want you to know just how bad this comment was. As you heard him say, he literally rejects the entire fifth dictum of the Protocols of the Elders of Science, Berlin edition, which teaches that the purpose of modern science is to validate the current moment's values regardless of evidence, reason, and history. It's almost as if he thinks somehow science is supposed to be independent of or even superior to social virtues like diversity, equity, and inclusion. Heretic! When he says gender is subjective, he's completely denying our core doctrines that gender is an absolutely objective truth about a person which only that person can know and which can change over time depending on that person's personal perspective. Like I said, objective. But of course, the real heresy here is the declaration that there are only two sexes, male and female, which he believes are defined biologically by some ridiculous indicator like chromosomes or reproductive capabilities, as if those things are even relevant in biology. And no, Professor Dawkins is not eligible for re-education in our many fine summer camps. He must simply be cast out for his blatantly unscientific belief in only two sexes. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
But really, the expungement of Richard Dawkins does give us a chance to praise those fine souls whose work he and that other unrepentant sinner Piers Morgan dared to criticize. The members of the Ecology and Evolutionary Biology Language Project, or EBLEP, who have helped identify 24 distinct terms currently used in science which should be gently euphemized, such as double-blind study, because it is ableist and marginalizes the alternately visual, survival of the fittest, for being connected to eugenics and for platforming ableism, and discovery, which denies the long-existing knowledge of indigenous communities. But for our purposes today, the most important relanguaging recommended by the EBLEPites is for scientists to stop saying the words male and female because they are heteronormative, binary, and cis-preferential. No, instead, the wizened thought leaders at EBLEP recommend we use the term sperm-producing for male and egg-producing for female, or, if we're not wanting to marginalize prepubescent and postmenopausal persons, we should replace male with XY individual and female with XX individual. In this way, we can differentiate them not by the contours of their nether regions, but by the content of their chromosomes. Speaking only for myself as an XY sperm-producing person, I celebrate these new labels, if for no other reason than they are awkward and unnecessary, the two most important features of modern language replacement theory. Of course, we can easily see a beautiful, distant linguistic future in which we fully embrace these changes. Pastors will ask, "Do you, sperm producer Jim, take this, egg producer Susan, to be your lawfully wedded XX chromosome mating partner?" Every year in March, we can fill out a bracket for the NCAA XY Chromosome Carriers Basketball Tournament. And once and for all, we can simplify public bathrooms by offering one for sperm producers and another for egg producers, each with the respective signage picturing the relevant gamete outline rather than the current cruel and transphobic body silhouette. Oh, the sheer elegance of relanguaging. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, with these cleansing rites performed, may we all go forth in loving tolerance and microaggress no more. Gametes to the left, gametes to the right, pick your doors wisely. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
626 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. He can't continue. We'll come back to traffic in a second. She's just getting her gametes under control. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
And I'm not doing much better, but I'll try. President Biden requesting Congress approve over $7 billion in aid to three Pacific Island countries. The ask comes as the U.S. and China compete to influence the region. The money would provide economic assistance over the next 20 years to the Marshall Islands, Palau, and the Federated States of Micronesia. 45,000 Disney World workers are going to be getting a raise. The theme park and the services trade council union agreed to a new contract yesterday. The workers all expected to get raises of at least $3 an hour. And the wait for the New York grand jury's decision on whether to indict former President Trump will continue next week. The grand jury hearing the case may be meeting, or they met yesterday, but they didn't consider the Trump case. They don't meet on Fridays.
Very good, David. Thanks so much for the update. Want to give another try, Candy?
Sure. Yeah, this egg-producing whatever.
Egg-producing XX chromosome person.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, that roads are fine. I'm not showing any slowdowns or delays right now. 98 looking clear. 90's fine. It's tense in the studio, but I'm sure that'll clear up too. Maybe not. I don't know.
I missed the line. You know what I should have said?
What?
Circles to the left, swimmers to the right.
And here I am. Yeah. Traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local.
And whatever.
It is. Dependable. It's 628.
Thanks so much.
That was a good one.
Oh, thank you. 628, News Radio 92.3. What else do we have going on? Oh, can I just do this for a second? This is like... You know what happens is I get stories and I don't have a place for them, and then they accumulate and I keep them because I don't want to throw anything out because I'm a hoarder of information. And what I have is basically if I want to do an entire show, like 4 hours on just acronym stories, I could. I mean, genuinely, I could. There are so many out there. And if I wanted to do 4 hours just on things that get canceled stories, like I could just do that as news. I was actually reading the Babylon Bee the other day, and they had a post, here's a hilarious thread of 20, it's actually not the Bee, their actual news accurate version of the satire site Babylon Bee. Here's a hilarious thread of 28 everyday things that have now been labeled racist. By the way, water's not on the list from, yesterday. Is the word picnic racist from the New York, the Inquirer? Peanut butter and jelly are racist from the New York Times. American cycling is a racist from Washington Post. Swimming is racist from CNN. Is coffee racist from where is the website here? I don't know which. I don't see the site on this one, but it's just another question. Then you had the pantry porn one. Let's see. PETA says phrases like "bring home the bacon." I mean, just like it's a never-ending onslaught to reason and tradition and just the use of language. The Atlantic. All of Shakespeare's plays are about race. Aeon, which is a philosopher's newsletter, Philosophy is Systemic Racism. It's just, it's unbelievable. It is a, it's a viral religion, okay, this mindset. And once you get inside of it, it really is like you just can't stop, and it's everything, everywhere, all the time. And, man, I feel sorry for people because it's so compulsive. And how do you get out of playing with, you know, the tar baby, basically? Well, come listen to my show, and maybe we'll cure you. David, what do you have coming up, sir?
A fire at a local storage unit was suspicious. More after Fox.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. A drone strike in Syria kills an American contractor, injuring another and five service members. Fox's Jill Nato.
Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin said he ordered the U.S. military to carry out precision airstrikes in Syria in response to the attack. Those strikes in eastern Syria against facilities used by groups affiliated with Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps.
Eight Iran-backed fighters reported to have been killed in those strikes. Kids returned to school in Los Angeles after a three-day strike.
While there's no agreement with the L.A. Unified School District, the Service Employees International Union, Local 99, returns to work, wrapping up a walkout but issuing what members describe as a strong, unified call for the district to bargain fairly.
Fox's Kristen Goodwin. More than a million people have been out in the streets in France protesting an attempt to raise the retirement age from 62 to 64. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 6:31. News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, it is 68 degrees in Pensacola. The state fire marshal's office says a fire that destroyed two storage units at an Escambia County business was suspicious in nature. That fire was called in yesterday morning at Prime Storage on 9 Mile. According to Channel 3, a witness reported seeing a truck driving away from a unit that was engulfed in flames. Fire crews were able to contain the fire to just two of those storage units, but six others were damaged by smoke. Santa Rosa County leaders are holding off on a pledge of $70,000 towards the building of a Native American cultural center, mostly because they just learned of the proposal this week.
Once we take a vote, we can't undo that vote. And we have to explain to our citizens that we made the right choice. I believe that helping your tribe is the right choice. And so I'm in support of that. I just think we need to do it through the TDC process.
Commissioner James Calkins and the rest of the board will likely be voting on that funding request at their April 10th meeting. The Santa Rosa Band of the Lower Muskogee says they need about $85,000 for that cultural center project. A lawsuit's now been filed in a federal court over Florida's laws regarding medical treatment for transgender youth. Joe Ford has more.
The lawsuit was filed yesterday by four families saying Florida's laws intrude on parents' fundamental right to direct the upbringing of adolescent children. The rules adopted by Florida medical boards prohibit doctors from providing gender-affirming care such as puberty blockers and hormone therapy to transgender children. The Florida Board of Medicine's rules went into effect on March 16th, and the Board of Osteopathic Medicine's rules go into effect next Tuesday. Attorneys for the plaintiffs say they're seeking a preliminary injunction to block the rules of both boards. Joe Ford, News Radio 92.3.
An attempted insurance reform is moving forward in the legislature. The State Senate yesterday passed the Civil Remedies Bill, HB 837, which says insurance companies no longer have to pay a policyholder's legal costs if that policyholder sues the company and wins. It also limits how much somebody suing for negligence can collect in medical expenses. Supporters say it'll lead to less lawsuits and could lower the costs for insurance policyholders, but opponents say it favors the insurance companies too much. Republican State Senator Travis Hudson sponsored the bill. He tells the Tampa Bay Times it'll stop people from believing they won the jackpot in the litigation lottery. The new Blake Doyle Skate Park will be opening soon, as soon as this May.
People can live anywhere they want. They're more remote than ever, and people look for a cool place to live, and then they find a job, and then they settle in and put in roots into a community. So these are the types of projects that make me really excited.
That's Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves, and he and other city leaders gave us a sneak peek at the skate park yesterday. There's a video on the News Radio Facebook page that Andrew made. You can go check that out. Again, that's on the News Radio Facebook page. 6:34 right now. News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at your traffic on the fives with Candy.
We were just in here arguing about his transgressors. You know why. As we take a look at our XY, as we take a look at around, we're not showing any slowdowns. Looks like Avalon is doing just fine. No problems on Garson Point Road, either, or the bridge for that matter. 3 Mile Bridge looking really, really great this morning. They showed a picture, a video rather, on WEAR Live, and just looking great the whole way through. Certainly, if you have a traffic incident or traffic tips, 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thank you very much, Candy. 6:35. Now a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
It's going to be a warm and humid day today with temperatures warming near 79 degrees. Partly cloudy skies with showers and thunderstorms possible through the overnight period. Overnight tonight, temperatures staying warm in the upper 60s. As you head into Saturday, showers and thunderstorms through the morning and early afternoon. A few storms could be strong. High on Saturday in the 80s. Saturday night, temperatures dropping in the 50s. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now, 68, partly cloudy in Pensacola, 68 in Gulf Breeze, and 67 in Milton. Our next news at 7, breaking news anytime. News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kishinka with Your Money Now. A nearly six-hour grilling of TikTok CEO by lawmakers brought the platform's 150 million U.S. users no closer to an answer as to whether the app will be wiped from their devices. Lawmakers pressed So-Ji Chu over data security and harmful content, responding skeptically during a tense committee hearing to his assurances that the hugely popular video sharing app prioritizes user safety and should not be banned due to its Chinese connections. Pentagon officials are scrutinizing why Boeing employees worked on current and future Air Force One planes without security credentials required for the highly classified jets. The Wall Street Journal says the Defense Department and Boeing have also been examining for how long many workers with access to the jets now in use by the U.S. president and under development in San Antonio lack certain current security credentials. The Boeing employee security credentials had in some cases expired months or even years ago. That's Your Money Now.
The steak experts at Omaha Steaks are helping you spring into something delicious with their semi-annual sale. Grab all your favorites at 50% off, like tender steaks, ocean fresh seafood, air chilled chicken, and more. Plus, use promo code QUALITY at omahasteaks.com at checkout for an additional $30 off your order. Get fired up and spring into something special. But hurry, 50% off site-wide is only for a limited time. Visit omahasteaks.com. Use code QUALITY at checkout for an additional $30 off during their semi-annual sale today. Minimum order may be required.
It's March, and you know what that means? Taxes are almost due. Jackson Hewitt can help you win tax season. That's the sound of your maximum tax refund. The sound of getting 50% off tax prep. The sound of many of our competitors' prices going up. And the sound of getting to your nearest Jackson Hewitt. Hurry in for 50% off tax prep before this offer expires April 9th. Limited time offer for new clients filing at participating locations. Max value $200. Visit jacksonhewitt.com/50 for terms.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. If you're driven by an adventurous heart, you're in luck because the redesigned 2023 Subaru Outback shares your spirit. The Outback can take you as far as you want to explore with standard symmetrical all-wheel drive. And Subaru's estimated highway fuel economy for non-turbo 2023 Outback models is up to 32 miles per gallon. And comparing information from competitors' website, the Outback has more ground clearance than Honda CR-V or Toyota RAV4. So you can take on the path less traveled with ease. And when Experian Automotive studied vehicles in operation versus total new registrations, they found that 97% of Outback vehicles sold in the last 10 years are still on the road today, which means you can explore your world with confidence. The 2023 Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Actual mileage may vary. Clearance comparisons as of June 2022. Experian data for model years 2012 to 2021 as of December 2022.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator method of adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 is Pensacola's radio home for informative, local, and dependable news and talk. Listen to local talk in your morning and afternoon drive. Local experts during the day with the Pensacola Expert Panel. And national talk with Brian Kilmeade and Dave Ramsey. Listen to local news and Fox News at the top and bottom of every hour. Along with WEAR News during your afternoon drive and at 10 p.m. We have your traffic on the fives during your commute. And when breaking news hits, we have you covered. News Radio 92.3, now heard on 95.3 and AM 1620.
Good morning, 640, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, six lanes. all six lanes are open on the bridge, finally, at long last. And I have been alerted by some friends who are out that they say PPD and Gulf Breeze Police are enforcing today. So they want you to slow down. You know, don't get a ticket. Don't be one of the stats, because you know there will be tickets issued, so don't be one of the stats. Joining us now, we've got Alex Andrade, State Representative for District 2, the southern half of Escambia County and the waterfront portions of Santa Rosa County. Alex, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. How's it going?
It's going great, and I have to start with this. I don't know if this is any kind of a record, but I will say kudos to you. You're the only legislator I know personally who has now had not one, but two Snopes articles written in your defense against mischaracterizations of legislation you're running that had gotten national attention for the misinformation. Pretty cool.
Yeah, it's always appreciated anytime anybody points out that something's being misleading about something you're working on. So I'll take any defense I can get.
Well, yeah, no, and it's just kind of one of those things like, why can't people just get the bills right? Why can't they just read them and report on them accurately? This is the HB 999 and HB 991, one of which is the lawsuit, the defamation bill, and the other one is, oh my God, my brain, it escapes me right now. What's the other one?
So the other one is HB 999. Which is regarding like DEI.
Oh, that's
DRT
right.
On
all the reforms at the college level. That's exact. Thank you for it. I just, my brain went, what is that one? All right. So today I've got questions about, there's a lot of things I have questions about. One, permitless carry, we're poised to pass that today, right?
Yeah, the Florida House is poised to pass permitless carry today, and also a massive, we're taking on the Senate. What the Senate sent us over for affordable housing, which will essentially double the amount of spending for affordable housing initiatives in Florida. It'll be somewhere in the range of about $700 million plus dollars for affordable housing initiatives just in that one bill, the fiscal in that one bill.
Wow. And is that now, and I have not read that bill, is that incentives for building, you know, multi-unit, single family, you know, what's the kind of the structure of that incentive plan?
So it's both. So we already have programs like Ship and Sale. Those are acronyms. Those are our like apartment dwelling incentives for affordable housing, and then also our programs to help keep people in their homes and help them help cover their down payments for their first-time home purchases. We also have this program called Hometown Heroes, which we started last year, which we're increasing by $100 million or proposing to in this bill. This is a bill that's been sent over to us by the Senate. So we've just taken on the Senate's language. So once it passes today, it'll go to the governor, and I think it'll be a huge help. You know, it's a self-inflicted problem, right? We have so many people moving to Florida. One of our biggest issues is affordable housing and keeping people in their homes, being able to afford property insurance, et cetera. So you know, taking that on and really literally doubling our efforts to address that for constituents is a big deal.
Yeah, and I think this is Kathleen Pasadomo's big initiative, and kudos to her for it. And it's kind of funny how the Democrats have been criticizing Governor DeSantis for the affordable housing crisis, which the answer is, well, the problem is we made Florida too awesome. I mean, and, you know, and so therefore we have a housing crisis is the issue. The permitless carry, as I understand it, this would also mean that that open carry is not going to happen this year, right? That's not on the table anywhere.
So open carry, there was an amendment proposed by a member on the House side. That member pulled their open carry amendment a couple days ago. So right now it is just related to permitless, getting away from our concealed carry permit requirements in Florida. And that's really what was kind of, it's been discussed and agreed to by the House and the Senate. So that's what we're going to be sending to the Senate later today.
Okay, very good. And just in case people haven't heard this much and we haven't talked about it enough, the rules for who can carry concealed do not change. Anybody who would be eligible for a permit is able to carry. Anybody who would not be eligible for a permit still cannot carry. And you still can only carry in the places where it's allowed. There's a whole list of places where you cannot carry, right?
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, really, ultimately, the only real-life effect of the bill, from my perspective, is I can take one laminated card out of my wallet. and I did not – and honestly, with the questions yesterday on the bill – on the concealed carry permit bill, I didn't realize just how safe that laminated card in my wallet made some Democrats feel.
Fascinating. Well done. I like that. We're talking to Alex Andrade. He's our state representative for District 2. Alex, hang on for just a second. Let's get Canyon here with traffic on the fives.
Good news is we're not showing any of those slowdowns or delays. Everything is looking good. 29 not showing any problems. It looks like I-10, I-110 reporting as clear, and 98 clear too. If you see an accident or a slowdown, let us know. Traffic tips, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to
also
Alex.
Nice one, Alex.
Yeah. Well done, right? Back to Alex Andrade. Alex, one of the things that we've seen the governor announce in recent days, and I guess we've got a bill that wants to take the parental rights bill and expand the prohibitions on the discussions of sexual orientation and gender identity up from the third grade to the eighth grade. Apparently, the governor wants to push it all the way up to the 12th grade on rulemaking within the agency as opposed to from a bill. I talked about this about a bunch yesterday. I'm certainly willing to have that conversation, but it absolutely feels to me like we were sold the K through 3 because who can possibly object to a 7-year-old? And then the very next year, it's camel under the tent stuff that we're trying to push it all the way to 8th grade or 12th grade. Am I perceiving something wrong here? It feels like, like it was a strategy instead of just up front, let's just ban it to 8th grade or ban it to 12th grade like we really intended.
So when you say strategy, I want to make clear there was no conspiracy last year, right? So this wasn't a bill that was planned ahead of time. This was really one House member's bill on K through 3 that they thought was a good idea, and just by virtue of the fact that opponents really grabbed onto it and made it a much bigger deal and issue than it was. It brought a lot more attention to it. We've had broader discussion since. And the idea really is, I mean, this kind of makes sense for like, why are kids in middle school? Why should kids in middle school be taught gender theory or a teacher's subjective viewpoints on sexuality? When you ask that question, even I'm like, that just sounds bizarre to me. I think it's less of a strategy or a plan or a conspiracy, and more just we've all thought about it now. It's been brought to the forefront. We've seen more and more evidence of people pushing back against that bill, kind of saying they do want to be teaching kids about this stuff. And we're just, it's a result of more public discourse, the Overton window kind of shifting, and us all realizing just how prevalent this stuff became. It is moving right now. I don't disagree with it. This just makes sense.
Okay. Well, that actually puts my mind a little bit more at ease, because it felt exactly like what the critics were saying is, well, you're saying K through 3 now and what you're going to do later. And what you're saying is, based on the opposition and the yelling and screaming and the hissy fit pitched over at this last year, maybe we ought to consider what's going on in the totality of the school system and think more about this. And sure enough, we've thought more about this and we really think it ought to be a higher age limit. I hear that argument. I mean, I take that to heart. One of the other things, a big thing, is we did pass the voucher expansion. I think that's going to the governor's desk, if I'm not wrong. And this did go with every single person with no restrictions whatsoever. I still ask the same question I asked before, which is I don't get the public benefit from spending public money to compensate people who are already paying for private school and can easily afford to do so with their income. I don't see that other than as a some kind of a weird philosophical thing. But that's what we're sending, right? That's the bill that's going?
So it is. But I do want to point out that, you know, millionaires and billionaires can send their kids and sometimes do send their kids to public schools at a cost to the Florida taxpayer closer in the range of like $11,000 to $12,000 per student. Now, the voucher program is a value of $8,000. So if you have anyone shifting from a public school system to using a voucher to go to a private school, every shift like that actually saves the taxpayer money. And that's borne out by the fact that we rolled out our budget proposals this week in the K-12 appropriations chair in the House. Josie Tomko rolled out a plan that would result in Escambia County and Santa Rosa County school districts receiving more money. The public school district would receive more money under the House's plan in conjunction with that voucher program that's coming down the line. So, you know, there are dynamics at play as far as, you know, funding mechanisms. But conceptually, I mean, this is it makes sense to me. I mean, parent is the ultimate arbiter of whether or not their child is getting a good education, and they should be allowed the choice.
Well, no, I see that on the spending side that's continually increasing, and I get that. But they're already sending their kid to private school. It's not a gain of 3. It's a loss of 8 because we're already up 11, right? Because they're already not sending their kid to public school.
Oh, Andrew, millionaires are not a monolith. They don't all send their children to private school.
Okay, but the ones who do, right? But the ones who do, that's the key, is the ones who are already doing it will now become eligible for these scholarships. That slice doesn't save us money. That costs us money.
Yeah, I mean, in theory, but at the same time, conceptually for me, right, if you're a taxpayer and you're paying into this system and you have a child who, you know, you've already placed in private school, I mean, you're paying essentially for two children to be educated with your tax money, and one of them's not yours. You know, that dynamic, that kind of argument, a lot of times has been borne out, like, by the teachers' unions. And I'm not saying that you align with the teachers' unions, Andrew, but
argument
for teachers' unions never really held weight with.
Hey,
it never really held weight with me.
Last thing, I just want to ask you because I didn't understand the news release. There was a story in the News Service of Florida that the Senate was working on a plan to incorporate the Garcon Point Bridge into the overall toll system that FDOT operates. That's already happened. I don't understand what's going on in the Senate. Can you clarify this at all?
Yeah, so Senate Bill, I believe it's 1250, brought by my former colleague in the House, Nick DeSigley. It's the Department of Transportation bill for the agency. And it just provides statutory authority kind of retroactively for what they've already done. If you go to the FloridaTurnpikeSystem.com, Garcon Point's already part of the system. They're already operating it. But this is the statutory authority that has to come along with the operation of this system. So we're just putting in law pretty much what's already happened.
Okay, so this is basically an after the fact. Here's the real permission for the thing that we're already doing. Okay, that makes sense to me because I was like, what are they approving? It's already there, you know, people are already paying it. Alex Andrade, he is our state representative for District 2.
Already signed off on. Yeah.
Thank you, very good. He is our state representative for District 2 and just gives us on Friday mornings during session an update on what's going on in session. Alex, as always, thanks for the time. Thanks for explaining things to us and for being with us this morning, man. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Andrew.
You bet. 653 News Radio 92.3, I'm Andrew McKay.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Each Sunday at 7:30 a.m., the Bible Baptist Bookstore of Pensacola, Florida, brings you Theological Seminar with teacher Peter S. Ruckman, founder and president of the Pensacola Bible Institute. He will teach you what the Bible says about the subject, not merely what it is presumed to teach.
Tune in this Sunday at 7:30 a.m. for Theological Seminar with Dr. Peter S. Ruckman, brought to you by Bible Baptist Bookstore on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You know, if you're 64, turning 65, it can be a little bit of an apprehension moment because you're going to be transitioning over onto Medicare. And if you've had regular insurance for your whole life, it's kind of, you know, whoa, what's this going to mean? Not much. In fact, it's very easy. But I know if you're getting phone calls or you're getting letters or emails and you feel like pressure and stress and whatever, listen, this is why you call my good friend Ricky Stewart. Her whole family does insurance. She does this slice of it, just the Medicare piece, and she can help you understand Advantage and supplement and, you know, drug benefits and Medicaid if that applies to you. All of this stuff, it's just very easy. I've known her as long as we've lived here. She's great people. If I were 64, I'd be calling her, okay? Ricky Stewart Insurance, you can look her up online or call her at 341-2185.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
Listen to Fox News personality Brian Kilmeade interview the latest newsmakers and cover the biggest national stories. Weekdays 11 to 1 on News Radio 92.3.
National average for a gallon of gas, 344. Florida, 340. We're back below average at way too high a price. Texas is 308. California is 482. In Navarre, 315 east and west of the Walmart. Tiger Point, 315 is actually a better price at the Tom Thumb on Gulf Breeze Parkway by the Dave's Oyster Bar and Grill. In Gulf Breeze proper, you got 321 at the Exxon, 319 at the CEFCO in Milton, 329 at the Murphy Express in P. Ridge. That's not a great price. The Tom Thumb has 314. 324 at the Tom Thumb in Pace as you get over toward the Causeway. Over in the Pensacola, you got 304 at the Walmart on 9 Mile, 329. Golly, what's going on today? Prices are jumping. Buy gas early. That's my advice. 329 at the Murphy in front of the Walmart on US 29. Coming in from the southwest side, 329 at the Murphy on Navy. That's your best price. These gas prices are brought to you by Pete Moore Volkswagen, with the lowest out-the-door price in your next new Volkswagen, PeteMoreImports.com. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And taking a look around, good news is we're not showing any of those slowdowns or delays. Somebody wrote in earlier and said, you know, from Woodbine to New Warrington, no carnage.
Nice.
The one that goes, are you an optimist or a bit, you know? So thank you for that. It's funny. And they took a picture too. Everything does look okay right now. Certainly if you see an accident or a slowdown or you got some smart Alec thing to do, send it in. Text it 437-1620, News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
We love jokes.
I do.
David,
yeah, I do. Yeah.
David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
A decision on a White House run by former President, Vice President Mike Pence could be coming soon. Yesterday, Pence told Fox News he and his wife have gotten a lot of encouragement and they're getting closer to a decision. Officials trying to determine if the bird flu is causing whale and dolphin deaths along the New Jersey shore. A group of eight dolphins were discovered in very poor health on the beach earlier this week. The dolphins had to be euthanized. And there's reports that the British government had discovered bird flu in some dead dolphins recently. Federal officials now doing some testing. An international sports governing body says transgender women will no longer be allowed to compete in female track and field events. World Athletics President Sebastian Coe said yesterday that starting March 31st, no female transgender athletes who'd gone through male puberty would be permitted to compete in female world ranking competitions.
All right. Thanks so much, David. I appreciate that update. 6:58 here on News Radio 92.3. Time for
Future News.
Future news. That's when we talk about what's going to happen before it happens. You've heard this ruling from one international sporting agency. Do you see other international agencies following this same pattern of keeping separate born women from born men?
Yes.
I do, too. I do, too. And I absolutely support this. I completely support this. It doesn't make any... But it's harmful to women's sports. The whole idea of women's sports is a place where women can compete against each other. Permitless carry, is that going to be the law of the land?
Yeah.
In Florida, yeah, it will be. Will the skate park be done May 2nd and on time and under budget or at budget?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
we're right there. Oh, my God. It is fantastic.
Oh, I can't wait. I love that they have like a bunny slope.
Oh, and I love the little kids area or the, you know, the learners area.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
Governor DeSantis responds to the NAACP's requested travel advisory for the state. We'll have that story and a whole lot more after this update from Fox News on News Radio 92.3.